Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
If you need one of our lesson guides, would you lift up your hand and somebody will bring it to you? We have been studying these different characters, and I wonder if you took the time to try to fill in the blanks. Did anybody do that? All right, we've got some down here that did. This is a review. See if you can fill in these blanks. I need somebody from the center section. What was the message of David? The battle is the Lord's. Very good. Someone from this section on my right, your left. If you look at the Apostle Paul, his life message could be what? Finish? Finish well. Great. Joseph. Somebody from this section over here. All right, on my left. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for? Thank you. God meant it for good. And Chrissy even pointed that out. Barnabas. Who knows this one? Somebody raise your hand. What's the blank? All right.
Never give up on people.
Never give up on people. Very good. Esther, do right and leave the results to God. Very good. And then Samson was the one we did last week. Sin what? Blinds. Sin binds and sin grinds. Now, tonight I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 1 verse 5. Luke chapter 1 verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Skip down to verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." We're going to talk about John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer is really the more scriptural name, although we'll claim him as a Baptist. Amen? All right. John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. All right. So an angel appears to Zacharias, number one. And then if you look down there at verse 14, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." Now, number one on this lesson guide here, the angel appears to Zacharias. He would be called a prophet and would prepare the way. That is the blank. If you go to verse 76, you see that later in verse 76 of Luke chapter 1, this is what Zacharias said after John was born. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way." So this was what was prophesied about John the Baptist, all right? Number two, his ministry is characterized in four ways. Well, by the way, let me back up and say this to you. If you go back to verse 18, we already read it, but I want to read it and pick up with it. Verse 18, this is Luke 1:18. "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years.' Now, how would you like to be Zacharias and hear this? And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. How would you like to have Gabriel talking to you? Who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So you see that Zacharias, he didn't believe the angel, and so because of that, he was mute. All during the pregnancy, he was mute, all right? So his ministry, John's ministry, has been characterized in a number of ways. First of all, in 1:15, which we read, it says, he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And many believe he was a Nazarite. Remember, we talked about what it means to be a Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite. But it says he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. So letter A there, he was a Spirit-filled man. That's the blank. Now, I want you to take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 3. Go back to Matthew, the first gospel, chapter 3, and look at verse 4. Letter B under number 2 is he was a strange man. I think that's putting it kind of mild there. Here's Matthew 3:4. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. The scripture points this out, makes mention of it, I think, so that we will all know that John was a very unusual person. God used this man. And you know, God gives us traits about us that are perhaps different and unusual. But God can use that. And John was a Spirit-filled man, but letter B, he was a strange man. Stay in Matthew and go to chapter 3. I got to go find it again. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. And I would say this about John. He was a strong man. He was a Spirit-filled man, letter A. He was a strange man, letter B. But he was a strong man. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism. See, John was a baptizer. He was calling for people to repent. Now, he was not preaching the gospel, because the gospel, Jesus had not come and died on the cross yet. But he was calling people to repent, and he was going to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. He was to make the path straight for the Lord to come. And so he was out preaching. When he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. This guy was bold. He was a strong leader. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Almost like, man, who let you in on the secret to come out here and listen to me preach and to watch me baptize? I want you to look at chapter 14, verses 3 and 4 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, verse 3 says this. And Herod had actually captured John because of John's preaching. John did not back up from anybody. And when there was something that needed to be said, he said it. It didn't matter who you were. And he got himself in a mess with Herod. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Herod had stolen his brother Philip's wife. And John called them to account. It says, because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. So John was a fireball preacher. He was a strong leader. And he took his stand. And later on, you have to follow it. But later on, the daughter of Herodias was at a party and she danced before Herod, and Herod, probably in a drunken stupor, said, "Anything you want up to half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. Whatever you want, you've pleased me so much tonight." And Herodias got her daughter aside and she said, "Ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter." And so she came in and that was her request. And I can't remember the motion picture, what the title of that motion picture was, but there was a movie made about this time in history, and I'll never forget being a little kid seeing that scene. I don't know if anybody else remembers that, but when Herodias asked for the head of John the Baptist, he was a strong man, and he was a strong preacher, and he took his stand. Now, back in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, we see that he was a very successful man. So here are your blanks under number 2. He was a spirit-filled man. He was a strange man. He was a strong man. He was a successful man. Because in verses 5 and 6 it says, "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him." Can you imagine? This guy took the place by storm. All of Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to see him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins, the Bible says. So he was very successful in his work. Number 3, Jesus said that John was the greatest man. Can you imagine? You say, what was the testimony of John? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said in Matthew 11:11. "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Of men born, Jesus said, there's never been one greater. And then, that he was the greatest prophet. That is shown in Luke chapter 7, verse 28. He was the greatest prophet. Of all the prophets, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. And then I want you to look at the book of John, the last gospel, and go to John chapter 5 and verse 35. John 5:35. The scripture says this: this was the words of Jesus speaking about John the Baptist. "He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." The word right there for burning and shining lamp is the word wick, W-I-C-K. So Jesus said of him, he was the greatest man, he was the greatest prophet, and he was a wick. What did he do? He was a shining light burning up for God to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. Now here was John's message to the world. If you go back to John chapter 1. And we'll be through with this in just a moment here. John chapter 1 and verse 29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" John's message was, first of all, behold the Lamb. Jesus is here. Can we get a lesson from that? Can I get a lesson from that? And you get a lesson from that tonight? The man of whom it was said by Jesus Christ, he's the greatest man that's ever lived. His message was, behold, Jesus is here. I think we do well to get that message out. Amen, church? And then, if you go to John chapter 3, he makes it clear that all glory must go to Jesus. In John chapter 3, verse 26, we find the story where they came to him, his followers came to John. Now, can you imagine having a following that included all Jerusalem, Judea, and the surrounding areas? And all of a sudden, now everybody's going to Jesus because John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and Jesus was performing miracles. John had been preaching, he had been baptizing, and he was very successful. All these people were coming, they were repenting, and yet we find in John chapter 3, verse 26, they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." What were they doing? They were appealing to his jealousy. They were trying to see, would he be jealous about it? John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." What a humble man. A man who had a huge following, and yet he delivered the message God had called him to deliver. "Behold the Lamb of God." And when everybody took their eyes off of following him and began to follow Jesus, he did not have 1 ounce of jealousy in him. He said to them, "You take what has been given to you from heaven." And he said to them, "I am not the Christ, but have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." We don't want people following us. We want them following Christ. And that's exactly what John did. And then he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." I have always been fascinated by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army in England. J. Wilbur Chapman was in London. He had an opportunity to meet General Booth, so the story goes, who at that time was past 80 years of age. Dr. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and the conflicts and the victories. The American evangelist then asked the general if he would disclose his secret of success. He hesitated for a second, Dr. Chapman said. Then I saw the tears come into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said, "I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and the vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart and all the power of my will and all the influence of my life." Later, the King of England invited William Booth to Buckingham Palace, and he has an album there where you can sign your name. And they asked him, King Edward said to Booth, he said, "You're doing a good work, a great work, General Booth." When the king asked Booth to write his autograph in the album, here's what he wrote: "Your Majesty, some men's ambition is art, some men's ambition is fame, some men's ambition is gold. My ambition is the souls of men." Someone who wanted to put the emphasis upon the gospel and Jesus changing lives. John the Baptist, when even prompted by his own followers to say, "Aren't you jealous? This man who you have introduced named Jesus now has all the crowds." Here's what he said: "He must increase, but I must decrease." So I believe that if John the Baptist was here tonight and could just say one thing, this is what he'd say, and this is at the bottom of the blank: "He must increase, but I must decrease." Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.